Am I turning? All right. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Lord.
Oh, what a wonderful time we had at summer camp.
Amen.
It was excellent. If you didn't get something while you were there, I don't know if you were there. Oh, goodness. You might want to check your pulse. It was wow. My kids are beaming. Thank you. Thank you for the children's ministry. They had an exquisite time. They could not help but run and tell me everything that they did. Everything they did. And there's nothing greater as a parent than to watch your kid rejoice in being able to learn about Jesus. So this morning, we're going to continue and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. And the focus verse will be verse 6. And the Holy Scripture states, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, the opening ice-breaking question is, what is the strangest food craving you've ever had? Strangest.
I had to have them every day. I would hide them under the bed so the twins wouldn't get into them.
I was expecting that preface from somebody when I was pregnant. Oh, peanut butter and tomato sandwiches. That's an...
They're yummy.
Okay.
One of my husband's favorite sandwiches.
All right. Anybody else?
When I was pregnant with Lily, I would eat almonds and I would take a bite of a pickle.
Okay. Almonds and pickles together. Were you?
Peanut butter and pickles.
Lots of pickle fans. When I was in the military, I used to crave, the military got me hooked on canned corned beef and hash. The stuff that smells like an Alpo dog food.
Exactly.
Right? Right? I thought that stuff was so gross. It was so nasty. However, when you're in cold weather training, it is the only warm thing they serve you. And so for a month, it being the only hot thing I'm eating, I choked it down until I was like, man, I started to associate that nasty dog food taste with something being warm in my belly. I'm like, every time I smell it, I'm like, that's nice. My wife doesn't get it, but she didn't have to live a month in the snow. So, you know, the strangest craving is McDonald's. When I was invading Iraq, we had our supply line cut off. And we didn't have any food for 6 days. And I had a dream of McDonald's in March. I didn't get back till almost October from the invasion. And the first thing I wanted to do was go eat McDonald's because that dream stuck in there. And I'll tell you, it doesn't live up to the dream. Not even a little bit. It was so disappointing. The reality was awful. But as we're looking here, we're going to talk tonight, or this morning, about a blessed life. When Jesus was teaching this, there's not many times I read the Bible where I feel this is inadequate. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that disrespectfully. I love the Word. I love the Bible. But this is that time where I got the sermon notes and I would give anything to have heard the sermon. Because I have heard some great preaching, but I promise this one tops it. Because when a preacher is able to connect with the heart of God and let it flow from him, it resonates. And this isn't him just connecting with the heart of God. This is God trying to convey his heart to you. There's never been a sermon like this one, ever. And yet I find it astounding that as we're in this, he starts with blessing. He taught them blessing. Why? You don't teach somebody something they already know. You don't. You teach somebody something that they need to know. They either think they know it or they have no understanding of it whatsoever. And so I'm going to teach you. And he taught them, and the first thing he wanted to teach them was blessing. And as we go through what we call the Beatitudes, what is amazing to me is the condition that he says this is blessed is nothing you would ever actually want to be. Blessed are the poor. I know if I had to choose between being poor and rich, I'd rather be rich. Everybody would. And that was the attitude of that day. Pharisees were not poor people. They weren't. And they had this attitude, because I am rich, because I have wealth, I am favored and I am blessed. You are not. It's the same attitude you see towards barren women. You must have something wrong with you. I'm able to have all these kids. You're wrong. Now, this sentiment is found in Hinduism. You're poor because the gods wanted you poor. And if you want to stop being poor, who are you to defy their understanding? You don't get to defy your station that they birthed you into. But here, the Lord says, let me tell you what I see as blessed. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of the earth cannot provide for you, so the kingdom of heaven is coming to be your provision. We wouldn't think that being poor is a blessing, but he also said it's easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because self-sufficiency does not make it. And if I can buy everything, everything, God is not first, he's last. If I can go to the doctor and I have the best money, and I can get the best doctors. I have a legal problem. I can get the best lawyer. I can do all this. I'm only going to go to you when everything else fails. And God said, come seek me first. And it's easier for those that have nothing. Like, Lord, I got nowhere to go. I need you to step in. And he said, blessed is this. To be in a position to seek him first. Blessed are they that mourn. Who wants to be mourning? Honestly. I'm not talking a couple tears. We know what true mourning is. The groaning out of a soul. Where you weep until your eyes fail to produce tears. Where you can get in so much pain that you are amazed your body doesn't have the generosity to just die. That I never imagined I could hurt like this and still be breathing. And yet he says, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that are going to be stepped on and stepped over and overlooked. Blessed are you. I mean, this is shocking. This is shocking. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Do you understand? He's talking. This is what is positioning you for blessing. To be in a perpetual state of hunger and thirst. Because they will be filled. But you're not going to be filled to the point that you're satisfied. I'm going to fill you today. We just got done with an amazing summer camp. And it is amazing preaching. I have never heard the Song of Solomon preached like that. Ever. Never. That blew my mind. I sat there, and when he, if you weren't there, when he talked about how the king went into the vineyard, you felt God walk right into that room. Oh my goodness, and the tears just start flowing. I'm like, the king is here. He couldn't have timed that any better. I'm like, did he just leave Jesus outside the doors? Like, you wait for my cue? He just showed up. I'm like, huh. I started crying when he gave the picture of the king coming on the cloud. I'm like, huh. Oh my goodness. But here's the thing. Year after year, people are excited for summer camp. Year after year, we cannot wait to go. Year after year, we know it's great preaching. And yet when it's done, everybody's exhausted. And we think we are in a position of blessing when it's like, oh, I'm so full that I came in this Sunday not hungry. No. Mm-mm. And then be like, man, I wish, because if it was Sunday and it was still at camp, everybody would show up. But they're going to drag in today. You know why? Because it's the same flavor of manna you've been getting day in, day out. Oh, can't I get some of that quail? I'm tired of this flavor. No, no, no. Mm-mm. Let me tell you what I see summer camp as. I dipped the tip of the spear in some honey, and it enlightened my eyes. I'm coming in today going, man of God, I need you to show me what my eyes weren't seeing before, because I just got some enlightening. I just got some revelation. So now I can receive some greater word from my pastor, because I have been positioned to see something that I haven't been seeing yet. I never saw Song of Solomon yet. that way. So I know that what he's coming with today, I haven't seen. And if I'm just going to sit there like, well, you know what? I'm full. I am passing up being blessed. I am passing up blessing. There, it should be impossible to fill yourself with the word that you think you don't need to keep eating. Yesterday's prayer does not suffice for today's prayerlessness. Seek me every day. I need him every day. And that's what's so wonderful, is God doesn't expect me to give him anything more than a day. That's it. I wake up today. Today is sufficient. It's got enough evil. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. You'll get overwhelmed. I need you to just focus today. Get up and pray. Get up and read. Get up and cast your cares. All you have to do, resist the devil today. Just say no today. Today, submit to me and say no to him. Today. And he will bless us. It's one of the things I learned in the military. It's one of the things when we went into sniper training, over the door, when you're in the infantry, it says, welcome to the suck. Why? Because it's going to suck. It's not going to be pleasant. There's nothing pleasant about this. And now you find the door of the snipers, and it says, we love pain and suffering. What am I getting myself into? And I found that, boy, they meant it. They meant it. We were crawling through the sand. We were doing this, belly crawls. Everything's just raw. No sleep. Oh, we're going to go. Why? Because it started out with 48 of us. I only need 6. All of us looking at each other, I can outperform you. Because that's the point. It's not the strongest. It's not the fastest. It's the one who has made up their mind that says, I won't quit. If you want to make it to the end, that's all you got to do. Just refuse to quit. If you get knocked down, get back up. All you have to do is just keep moving. And that's all they told us. If you can run, run. If you can't walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, pull with your fingernails. But whatever you do, you just keep moving. And he's sitting here, he's telling you, this is what I consider blessing. Blessed are the merciful. Who wants to be in a position where you have the right to judge? I love to receive mercy. I am not too pleased when God demands it of me. I mean, I'm just being honest. Mercy is not my go-to. It's not. You activate my flesh, you're going to have to give me a moment. Because I got to go talk to the Marine that's trying to get at you. He's ready to let you know what's up. And I got to go let him know, how did you get off the cross? Brother Hernandez preached me something that I always took to heart, and it was a hard lesson, and it continues to be. He said, God will bless you with offense. What? Really? Are you sure? And he said, how better to check if the old man is dead? He said, corpses do not say ow when they're hit. Corpses don't get attitudes when you poke them. He said, if the old man's riling up, the old man's not dead yet. He said, he will bless you to show you what you thought was is not as you perceived it to be. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Mm. Mm. You know, I've never been a pastor, but I guarantee you more than one of those white hairs have been earned. Amen? Some of those through having to make peace. I didn't have a single gray hair until my kids showed up. It was not age that did this to me. It was children. I love them. When people think of blessing, we need to realize that it's not the world's definition we should have. Your finances, your position, none of this is necessarily evidence of blessing. When I taught it on a prayer meeting, the amount of blessing and the amount of cursing, the peaks are separated by a mile and a half, but the base of each mountain almost touches. And the only thing that separates them is a valley. Because how you walk in the valley is going to determine which mountain you get to climb. And not everybody who you see on elevation is going to end up at a peak of blessing. Some get elevated to demonstrate God's displeasure. I don't want to be made an example of. I'd rather have that dealt with in my prayer closet. None of us are perfect, but I can walk in perfection. Why? Because Job was counted as an upright man and perfect. Now you cannot tell me and look me in the eye and convince me that that man was sinless, without fault. But he walked in a place where he sought God's face every morning, every evening. He offered sacrifice and repentance, and that positioned him in spotlessness. And this is before the Holy Ghost. We now have the blood. We now have His Spirit. What excuse do I have? Blessing. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. I want you to know this is why the enemy fights for you so much. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. He cannot curse your life, but he can get you to do it. He can get me to speak evil into my home and over my family and over my promises. Why? Because I'm allowing what I see to determine the truth of what I heard, rather than what I heard challenge what I am seeing. This is why Elijah was wise. Because when he heard the abundance of rain, he made sure not to disconnect himself from what he was hearing. And he said, I need you to go see. Because have you ever been in prayer? Have you ever been in an altar where God just blessed you and you looked up and you're like, I don't see it. And then all of a sudden, well, did I really hear that? Because I moved from a dimension of faith into a dimension of sight. And this is why we're blessed with the body. Don't cast your pearls amongst swine. Certainly. But that doesn't mean don't cast your pearls. Storms are a blessing. Storms are a blessing. They don't appear to be. Oh my goodness, they don't appear to be. But Brother Jeff Arnold preached something and it has always stuck with me. He asked, he said, Lord, why would you feed all these, the fishes and loaves, and send them to their homes? And then take those that want to follow you and send them into a storm. And he said, if I ever heard from God, I heard to God that night. And he said, the Lord told me because the multitude wasn't worthy of the storm. Because the storm was going to bring revelation. And the storm, the next time, he went with them in the boat the first time. The next time, he sent them by themselves. Because Peter, I'm going to use the storm to change the dimension you walk with me in. Here's the thing. We know that a man who hears the word and does it, I liken him to a man who builds his house upon the rock. And when the wind and the waves and the rain beat against that house, it remains standing. But anything that's not built on the rock, when the storm hits, it comes down. Right? Now, we can sit here and what we realize is that the only thing that is notably different is the foundation, what cannot be seen. And yet we call it enemy strongholds. And I would argue to you that when you start praying, God, deliver my family. When you start praying, God, I have this, I need this. Lord, I can't get rid of this. These chains are on me. That all of a sudden, an answer comes that maybe you didn't think would come. A storm arrives. And I am ignorant enough to believe it's the enemy that brought the storm because the enemy starts speaking to me during the storm like never before. But I would argue that the enemy is speaking to me in the storm because God has just blessed me with something that's going to tear down his stronghold. And what he needs to happen is I need you to be quiet so that he will lift the storm because you won't survive it either. See, church, when Paul was on the ship, it revealed the nature of people. And it's a painful nature to look at. Because when things really get bad, most people go to one of two camps. Either I'm going to abandon you to let you fend for yourself, or I'm going to look to harm you. Storms can bring out the worst. I know I'm the latter. A warrior, and Brother Hernandez, he sat there and he taught me. He went and he said, let me tell you your problem. Oh. Not something you want to hear from him, but you're listening. Let me tell you your problem. He said, there's two types of people. Those that you have to convince to go to war and those that you have to convince to stop. If all you ever do is reach for the sword, you're going to kill people that should have never been swung upon. You need to learn to sheathe it. Not every storm requires a sword, but every storm requires prayer. This word is meant to deliver, not so that I can use it to finish you off where the devil couldn't. I'm here to try and lift you back up with this. We're here to bless each other. And the Lord wants to bless us. Why? Because he's a blesser. It's his nature. The reason you feel love when he walks in is because he is love. It's not something he really has to put effort into. It just emanates off of him. He is that. He is peace. He is a merciful God. And it astounds me that people want to reject him on every issue except only God can judge me. Is that the only aspect of God you really want to know? Y'all sitting here talking about I'm scared of the devil. I'm terrified of depart from me. I will live with the devil every night of the year to get away from a depart from me. What are you going to do? The worst you could do is send me to eternity. And you have to go and get permission. Let's not even pretend like you have the authority to kill me. But we're here to be a blessing. You will know the tree by its fruit. You will know the tree by what it's able to produce and replicate. I shouldn't be calling myself blessed if I am blessing no one. If I am not a blessing that is not blessed, that's something else. If when God starts to impart gifts, I am more concerned with what I can get, I've missed the point. In Joshua 1:6, he said, I have given you these people that you may divide among them the promise. Joshua, your position, not so that you can get what I've promised you. I've positioned you to make sure that they get what I've promised them. And by ensuring they get what I've promised them, you will most certainly have what I've promised you. See, a selfish church, when we only seek our own blessing, reduces our prayer. If all you pray about is you and all I pray about is me, there's only one person praying for you. But if I set all of you first, and you set all of us first, we now have a multitude praying over your needs. You now have a multitude praying over you. And I'd rather have 100 people knocking than just me. Selflessness actually ensures that we're all being served. God said, I didn't come to serve, I came to serve. I came to be a blessing. We're here to be a blessing. When we get into the throne room of God, you should come out with blessing. Do you understand? It is a blessing to have him. This is the blessing. Quit looking around your life and wondering, is this how I'm blessed? This is all that you gave me? No, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. And you know what? We don't know the more abundantly part. Because I don't believe that's speaking of this one. Before, I was just living. I was simply alive. And when he came in, I experienced life. But Paul says, we only see him darkly. I don't even know what I really have yet. Not really. I know it's the lover of my soul. I know it's God Almighty. But there's going to come a moment where I'll be like, whoa. Whoa. And I'm not so arrogant to think that I don't have a picture that cannot have my mind blown when I finally see him. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I'm glad he's going to wipe tears because my vision is going to be blurry. Oh, wow. That's the God that came. Oh, man. And to shed off this filthy, the filthy garments and put on righteousness for all eternity. To no longer have to battle with sinful nature ever again. To get to sit in His presence, that is such a blessing. And yet, when we sit here, this is why God says give thanks. Why? Because He will give you an out. What is the out? You enter His courts with thanksgiving. In all things give thanks. It doesn't say give thanks for all things, in all things. You don't have to be thankful that you just got hurt and betrayed, but you have to be thankful that He's with you in it. I'm not having to go through this by myself. And here's the thing, is when I enter into His courts, I am not changing my situation, but I have just changed where I'm spiritually at. This is how you get peace that surpasses understanding. Your whole life's on fire. This is fine. This is fine. Why is it fine? Because the flames never burned the boys when they went into that furnace. This ain't going to touch me either. You see, Paul on that ship, he said, hey, be of good cheer. You know, I have known some things. There are certain people you just don't go fishing with. Never go fishing with a man that is braver than you. That's a rule. And in the Navy, they decided war was so important, we can't waste 7 days going around this typhoon. We're going through the typhoon. And that ship, I have never walked on a wall before. But I did then. And I did then. They call it bulkheads, but I'm, whoo! Everything's rocking. But you know what? My life may be shaking. But everything that is not of Him can be sifted. See, the devil wanted to sift Peter. Sometimes God wants to sift the devil from Peter. Let the shaking happen. Let it happen. Because you have no stay power. You have no stay power. The Lord can keep you. And so he told him, be of good cheer. And you know what happened with Paul? They ate bread and it says they were all of good cheer. Didn't hear not one thing change in that storm. But you know what happened? A person who was connected to the Blessed One released a blessing. Because when a person's willing to bring a word out, it can change everything. Let there be light changed everything. It is finished, changed everything. And yet, God puts these words in our heart. And you know what the enemy does? He says, look, 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 look. I don't see the promises. Look, look, look. Why? Because he says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Heaven. And all of a sudden, I start questioning my promises because of what is present on the earth. You know what I just did? I made my promises accessible to a thief. You think he walks into his kingdom and takes what is mine when it's in his hands? Not even a little bit. But if I can bring my promises low to where I'm using the earth as the measuring foundation as to whether or not this thing is real, they're not laid up there. And oh boy, he loves to walk to and fro. And the moment I start questioning God and entering into doubt and grumbling and faithlessness, he walks right in and says, thank you very much. Because we got preached to the divine connection between standing and speaking. But you'll notice when Jesus taught them, he had them sit. Because sitting is a position where I can change you through what I teach you. And if the devil can get me to sit down, you think he's going to be quiet? Not even a little bit. Because he needs the power of our tongue. But God says you are a blessed people. Why? Because we're at the hour we all want to be. During his crucifixion, Jesus looked at them and he said, this is your hour, the power of darkness. And during the power of darkness, the greatest demonstration of God's love, grace, and mercy towards us was released. And when I look at this world as it descends back into a dark place, I don't despair. I rejoice because I know that he's about ready to do his next greatest work, taking us out of here. When it is completely dark, that sky is going to fill with clouds. And all of a sudden, we are going to be lifted in the air. Because he said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And that widow woman, when she said, I'm bound, my whole kids are going to be sold into slavery, what should I do? He said, get vessels. Get vessels, bring them into the house. Get vessels, bring them into the house. Why? Because I'm going to pour out into every vessel. That oil is not going to stop until every vessel's full. So you know what is being said when we hear the greatest harvest is coming that the church has ever seen? It is going to be accompanied by the greatest outpouring the church has ever seen.
Yes.
But if you want to be blessed, you have to choose him. Because there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. You can be filled, but if you want to be a dishonorable vessel, you will not be connected to the flow of outpouring. He ain't going to use you to fill somebody else. But here we are, church. God told me something that changed my attitude on America. I said, Lord, my kids don't know the America I grew up in. This is unrecognizable. This ain't political. The youth today don't know the America I grew up in. And the Lord said, don't worry. I'm not trying to show them the country you came from. I'm going to show them the kingdom you're headed to. I can't ask for a greater blessing than that. And we're here to be blessed, and we're here to bless them. Everything we get today is so that we can let it flow to those that are hungry. Hungry because they're starving. But we first have to be hungry. The enemy has blinded their minds. So bear some fruit, so that they may taste and see. That they may taste and see. We are blessed. Don't let your situation tell you otherwise. Let him be the declaration. We have him. We are blessed more than any billionaire on the face of this earth. Amen. All right, well, let's get ready. We're going to lift up some praise. No matter what we're going through, mountain or valley, he is still good. Nothing has changed with him. We're going to lift up his name. We're going to greet one another, and we're going to get fed some fresh word. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.